as we prepare our hearts for worship, would you hear these words from Psalm 100? On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter, seeing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal, always, and forever. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are your well-tended sheep, the ones for whom your heart desires to be near, to hold us, to comfort us, to feed and nourish us, to protect us. Thank you, O God, that we may join the saints and the angels around your throne this morning in singing our praises to you that declare how good and how worthy you are. You made us. We didn't make you. And in creating us, you created us to worship. You created us to declare your majesty far and wide. You created us to know you and to love you. And so in this next hour, might we live into our created purpose. Might we worship you with all of our hearts. Might we declare our thanks for you with our lips. And might we go from this place ready once again to follow you with all of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We continue our series this morning on letters to the church from Ephesians. Dear church, this morning the call to be a people who speak truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. Would you pray with me? And now, Father God, as we turn to your word, we ask for your Spirit to move freely among us, that you might help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever seen something or someone tossed about by the waves? Just a few weeks ago, there were some of us at kids camp at Great Wolf Lodge, and my friend Andy, the fearless leader that he is, went out in the wave pool, and he made it to about the 3 feet deep line, and a wave knocked him over, and Andy's knees have seen better days, and so he couldn't get up, and he just, and the waves would come and come and come, and he just slowly rolled his way back to the shore, and all the kids gathered around, Mr. Andy, are you okay? Tossed by the waves. A guy often tells me about someone that he works with, who he shows up to work each day, and this person is just so immersed in the daily news that when they get together in the mornings, he'll just begin to talk about, did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? Have you heard about this? With just this spirit of just frantic and anxious chaos. The news makes his life as if he's just tossed from here to here, this story to that story, tossed by the waves. You see, we live in a world that's going to throw a whole lot of waves our direction any given week. Turn on the news, you see overwhelming stories. They just come one after another. So you turn it off and all your people can get a hold of you 24/7 now. And so you get messages from those you love, crisis upon crisis. And when you try to shut all of that out, lo and behold, there's your own heart tossing around doubts upon doubts, tossed about by the waves. So often we see that our very own peace gets caught up in this tide coming in and going out. Not just our peace, but also our faith and our joy and our hope. But did you know that there is a way to stand? There is a way to have our feet firmly planted on the ground in this great big wave pool of life. There's a way to live as people who are grounded, come what may. People who say, I will not be washed ashore. I will not drown, no matter what this day holds. The Apostle Paul says, here is the way. Speaking the truth in love, we must grow up into Christ together, the whole body working together to grow together in love. How do we stay grounded in this wave-tossing world? One big word that is a must is this word together. Together. It's a big deal. He says the whole body working together in community. It is the only way that we will remain steadfast with our Lord and with each other in this world that's full of waves. I tell you, my friends, in my life up until now, I have yet to meet a truly mature follower of Jesus who wasn't deeply committed to a faith community. Never. I've met some somewhat spiritual people, but a truly mature follower of Jesus, I've never met a one that wasn't deeply connected to a faith community. And that's because it is hard to follow Jesus when you're not using the very gifts that he has given you to build up his people, to actually build up his people. And it is hard to follow Jesus when you are not weekly encouraging your brothers and sisters to keep on keeping on. And it is hard to follow Jesus when you are not deeply in love with his very own bride. And it is hard to follow Jesus when it is all on you. It's all on your knowledge and your discernment and your mood and your discipline to have this heart day after day that's just always on the ready to meet him and to greet him, to be convicted by him, to grow in him. It is really hard when it's all up to you. In community, it's mandatory for our attempts, our desire to be growing up as a people who are actually in Jesus. But then as we make our life in community together, how we do life together is just as important. Because you see, just being a bunch of individual people who love Jesus together in this one room, it doesn't guarantee in and of itself that we won't then be tossed about by every passing wave that comes our direction. Just loving Jesus as individuals and coming to this space ever so often doesn't mean that we will not be challenged by every single thing that comes at us that makes us want to go against each other or makes us want to break off and turn inward and isolate. We must be a people who don't only hang out together, but we commit to one another. To be a community that will speak truth in love. That's the formula for growing up with feet grounded in Jesus. A community that speaks truth in love. Now this is hard, right? This is hard. Because so often in our world, we put these two things against each other. You can either be loving or you can be truthful. If I ask Guy if something I'm wearing makes me look fat, he has a choice to make. He can be loving or he can be truthful. And sometimes they're not going to be the same thing, or so we think. But then again, in any relationship, if we can't actually handle the truth, then that relationship, it turns out, is actually bound by conditional love. It's like, I will love you as long as you tell me what I want to hear. I will love you as long as you do what I want you to do. And when it gets down to it, that's actually not love at all, is it? You see, we put these things against each other, truth and love, but they're not. Truth and love, they have got to dance together to truly be true and to really be love. But it's hard. It's hard for so many reasons. It's hard, for one, because we don't actually really live in community one with another. To speak truth to someone and for it to actually go over well, hard truth, they have to know in their heart of hearts that you love them. They have to know that you actually have their best interest in mind. You're not just trying to get one up on them. You're not trying to push them down. You're not just trying to make a point. They have to know that you love them and that you've got their back. And that is really hard to do when we only see each other for maybe a couple hours a month. And even in that seeing of one another, we don't very often reach out to really know one another. To really do this life together. I mean, just breathing in the same air for an hour or so, it doesn't make us a community that is now ready to go out and speak truth and love. That kind of community, that happens around tables and in small groups and in those phone calls just to check in on someone. That kind of community, it happens over cups of coffee, dozens of them. Sharing hearts one with another. As we continue to facilitate this kind of life together, then we will have more and more of an opportunity to become a people who might actually be able to practice speaking truth in love. It's hard. It's hard because being in community is hard. And it's also hard because we live, all of us, some kind of conflicting truths. A parent tells their child, just do your best and I'm going to love you just the same. And then that kid brings home a C+ on their report card. Really? I still love you, but. We have these conflicting truths within us. I don't have a kid, but I've got conflicting truths. I've got this conflicting truth about dog poop on trails. I tell you, I hate it when I'm going on a trip and I see those little litter bags of dog poop everywhere. It's like, who does that? Pick it up. But then I also hate when I'm on a run and I've got to jump over some dog's poop. It's annoying. But when I take my little princess, Charlie, on a walk and she just has to go and I forget to bring a bag, I have all kinds of justifications. I mean, it's better than a plastic bag on a trail. And at least she's a lady and goes off the trail. And it's natural. It's okay if it's Charlie. We have conflicting truths within us. It's hard to speak the truth. It's hard because we don't always even know what the truth is. I mean, did you know, is it true that the Bible says that women can't be preachers? Some of us have never heard that. Some of us have just ignored it. Some of us have wasted tons of time debating it. Some of us have actually wrestled really deeply with it. But I tell you that there are some Christians who are positive that you shouldn't be here today because I'm here. And some of us don't know what's true in all of that. What does Jesus mean in Matthew 12 when he says that the one sin that he won't forgive is blaspheming the Holy Spirit? Most of us aren't all that sure of what to do with that. And is it true that tongues isn't a thing anymore, the gift of tongues? Or is it still a thing? And under what circumstances? And how does it work? And am I missing something if I haven't done it? Where's the truth in that? And demon possession, is it still a thing? Does it look something like addiction or like mental illness? Or is it different altogether? Do we always know? Sometimes we just don't know what the truth is. Guy, there he is. He's a great musician. And I am like totally tone deaf. And all the time he's down in his little room downstairs playing his guitar, and he comes up with all these new things, and I think they're great. And he comes up, he's like, you got to hear this new thing that I just put together. And he starts to play all these chords, and I can tell by his face that it's good. But when he finishes, he looks at me like, what do you think? And I just, yeah, it's awesome. And I think he's looking at me to speak the truth, but the problem is I just don't know. I don't know what's good and what's really good or what's terrible and what's awesome. To me, everything he plays sounds amazing. It's all good. But sometimes we just don't even know the truth. We don't know. We don't always know what the Bible really says or what it really means. We don't always know what God is really up to or really not up to. And so this speaking truth stuff is hard because if we are honest with ourselves, we just don't always know the truth. And yet we live in this world that gives us pressure to have an opinion on everything and a quick opinion. And just fake it till we make it rather than just be a people who say, I don't know. Let's do some digging into this stuff together. Speaking the truth is hard. And it's especially hard when we turn to the Christian community because we know that so much damage has been done by the church under this big banner of truth. I mean, we've been hearing more and more stories lately of those Catholic-run indigenous schools where they were created to kill the Indian inside of indigenous little bitty kiddos. And the more we hear about this, these schools that were created to teach these kids truth, the more it makes our stomachs just turn. Done in the name of Christ. Doesn't look like him. And we've had all these people in our lives that at some point have told us that we are too broken, or we're too radical, or we're too liberal, or we're too messy to be in the presence of Christ. And telling us this, they have kept us away from knowing the grace of Christ. I was told so many times that I couldn't follow my calling to serve the church and be in the good grace of Jesus. The very calling that he gave me. Told it was wrong. As if this was truth, and there was no question about it, and there was no way to work around it. And as I grew into this calling, I eventually came to see it wasn't truth. It was just someone's well-rehearsed perspective peddled along as truth. I mean, in my life, I've known of family members who have come to me in this place of deep, deep grief that was made even deeper by the church. Because they had been told that a loved one who fell victim to suicide would never be in heaven because it had been taught as truth that if you take your life, you go to hell. Where does that come from? So much harm has been done. And the church has passed on these truths that perhaps weren't truths at all. So it's hard to speak the truth when we know that there has been damage done by misspeaking the truth. And it's hard because we know that the church has been wrong when once it was so sure about something that was unquestionably truth. I mean, even in the New Testament, the apostles were so certain that Jesus' return was just around the corner. And after 10 years passed, 100 years passed, 2,000 years passed, had to rethink some of that truth. And so many Christians in the South, I mean, less than 100 years ago, we're still convinced that slavery was justified by Scripture, ordained by God. Wrong. That's not truth. However convinced parts of the church may have been that it was. Truth stuff can be hard. The Apostle Paul says right here in this Ephesians passage that doctrines can be like the wind. They blow in and they blow out. Ever changing as we come to know God's heart more and more. And here's where we've messed up so often. The church has made doctrines. Doctrines are ways that we think are the most faithful way to live based on what we know of God's word and God's heart right now. There are best practices for faithful living, though non-essential to salvation. They're kind of like the best idea we've got of how to do this thing. Doctrines, like the Lord's Supper, the nature of it. Some churches say it's the full presence of Christ. Some say it's kind of the presence of Christ. Some say it's a symbol of the presence of Christ. And churches have split over this doctrine, but it doesn't matter for salvation. It's meaningful. This is a doctrine. How we baptize, do we sprinkle, do we immerse? Is it infants, is it adults? These are doctrines. They can change. They're blown with the wind. Who can lead a congregation, male or female? So often we have made these doctrines into dogmas. A dogma is this once and for all, unchangeable, unquestionable truth. Doctrines, they help us stand, and they're good. They're a gift. But sometimes they need to change, and when they need to change, they need to change. Dogmas, and there's only a few, like Jesus is Lord, fully human, fully God, come to show us the way to love, come to die for us, buried in the tomb, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is coming again. That's a dogma. We're saved by grace. That is a dogma. These are just a few, and there's only a few. But these dogmas, they stand. They stand no matter what wave comes crashing our way. And so often over these last 2,000 years, the church has just messed up with making all these windy doctrines that were meant to come and go as God reveals himself to us more and more. They've made them foundations that cannot be moved. And we have seen damage done in the name of truth. But then it's hard, this truth stuff, because we also live in a culture right now that has this big question of whose truth? Whose truth are we even talking about? Is it your truth? Is it my truth? Is it his truth? Is it her truth? Everyone gets to play in the game of truth. And I tell you, it gets overwhelming, doesn't it? And sometimes we want to do what Pilate did, standing in the presence of Jesus when he throws up his hands and says, "What is truth?" And it turns out he was looking right at him. Jesus, the embodiment of truth and love. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, the incarnation of God's love on full display for us. In Jesus, only in Jesus, even still in 2022, when everyone around us thinks that they get to create their own truth, it is only in Jesus that we actually see full truth and full love living side by side as one. It is only in Jesus. And have you ever noticed how beautifully, how brilliantly Jesus spoke and led his life with compassion, love, and conviction, truth, at the very same time they were always doing this beautiful dance together? Compassion, it's that ability to be with someone fully present, no matter their suffering. And conviction, it's that ability to express this truth that rises from the depths of the foundation of your soul. Compassion and conviction, both of these things are good, and both of these things can be very dangerous if they don't hold hands together. And Jesus perfected holding these two things together. You think about the woman at the well in John 4, right? Compassion and conviction. He saw this woman all alone. He went and received a cup of water from her. He saw her. He talked to her. He befriended her. And then he spoke truth about those five broken relationships with her. Compassion and conviction. That the paralytic, remember him? He's carried to Jesus by his friends, laid at his feet. Jesus sees this man who's been neglected by his very own family, and he calls him son. Compassion. And he tells him that his sins are forgiven, saying, your problems, my son, are deeper than your legs don't work. I've got to heal your heart too. Conviction, hand in hand. Those darn Pharisees, don't you love to hear Jesus' interactions with the Pharisees? That's when it gets exciting in the New Testament. Those Pharisees, Jesus calls them all kinds of names. One of the names he calls them, whitewashed tombs. He says, you guys, you're clean on the outside, but you are dead on the inside. Oh, that's conviction. But this is the same Jesus who weeps over the people of Jerusalem. And you know, as he weeps, those Pharisees are right there, the surface of his heart. And this is the same Jesus who breaks bread at the table with Pharisees just the same. Compassion and conviction. Oh, they can be dangerous alone, but they are beautifully redemptive when they dance together. And these days we have all these Christian communities that seem to be all one or all the other. There are these Christian communities these days that are all compassion and no conviction. They have the mantra of, we're just committed to loving. And it sounds nice. It sounds good. If I got to pick one, I'm going to pick that one. We're just committed to loving. But those communities that are just compassion, they have a hard time when they are called at some point to be prophetic. Because you see, the prophets, they had to at some point speak up and tell a people when they were headed toward destruction. And these prophets weren't always loved. They were hardly ever loved. But they were always faithful. And speaking the truth was always kind. And these communities that are only compassion, we're just going to love everybody a lot, they have a hard time being disciplined. Because if everything goes, then how does anyone actually grow? And these communities, they have a hard time standing for anything significant. Because there's this great fear of offending anyone that might stand against us. You've got a parent that's watching a child run into a busy street, and that parent doesn't stand back and say, I'm just going to love him while he does what he needs to do. That's not loving, right? The parent's compassion gives way in that moment to conviction, and they cry out, Johnny, get out of the road. That is a really bad choice. Sometimes compassion has to give way to conviction. Our youth at summer camp, oh man, to get 27 of them there and home alive and having learned something, there has to be a lot of discipline and accountability and a lot of boundaries that helps us all have an experience where we all might get to grow together. If the only mantra of youth camp was, well, we're just going to go away and we're just going to love them while they do whatever they want to do to be happy for a week, then we're going to have a bunch of kids who are throwing up at midnight from those 10 airheads they ate at 11 p.m. And we're going to have a whole bunch of kids who have broken hearts because it made someone else happy to tear them down. And we're going to have a bunch of kids coming back home with black eyes because someone else wanted the freedom to throw some rocks. You see, anything goes when we all live in community together. That's not just loving. Communities that only want compassion, no conviction, have a really hard time actually growing into maturity together. But the other type of community, the one that is mostly conviction with very little compassion, they say things like, around here, we're clear about our beliefs. Here's our statement, sign it. And if you sign it, you're in. Here's what we stand for. And if you're not with us, if you don't conform, then you are against us. And these communities, what they seem to think they have going for them is they seem to think that they have their folks under control. But you see, they become a graceless people really quickly with plenty of judgment. And what they get is not just well-behaved people, but a whole lot of hiding and hatred towards them, whoever they are that we blame for the problems that we have. I grew up in a rather convicted church where you knew just what you should believe, just what was right, just what was in with God, just what was out with God. And as you did, I grew up in a rather non-conforming family because it turns out all of our families are a little bit messy. And so in my own family, growing up in this church that said, here's who we are, conform or be out, we had stories of abortion and affairs. What do you do with that in a conviction-only community? You hide. And I tell you, these stories are 30 years ago now, and these people that this is part of their story, they have never told a soul in their church the truth of who they are and of the dark valleys they have walked through, because they are sure that they would only be shamed and they would only be removed from community. It's just hiding. It's not growing. It's just hiding. You see, it's easy to just love, or it's easy to just have convictions and say, agree with me or go somewhere else. But what's hard? And have you noticed yet that the Jesus way is almost always the hard way? Or else everyone would do it, right? What's hard is holding these two together. It's really hard. In fact, I propose this morning that we cannot do it. Only Christ has truly perfected this life of speaking the truth in love and this perfect dance together. We can't do it. We can only do as Christ did, as we are living in Christ. Have you noticed that's the theme of Ephesians? That all that's at our disposal is right here for us only when we make our homes in Christ. In these four chapters, we've seen in Christ at least a dozen times. This beautiful picture of what's possible in us. But Paul says over and over, it's only going to happen if you live in Christ. We don't need to go out this week with a little tally on our phones trying to measure how often we show compassion and how often we show conviction and see at the end of the week if we are about 50-50 or how far off we are. It's not going to work. We can't do it. What we can do this week is we can nestle up close to Jesus Christ again and again. We can commune with him again and again. We can be with our Jesus again and again. We can let his heart wrap itself around our hearts again and again. We can live in Christ. It's the only chance we've got in Christ. The goal for the Christian community, for this Christian community, is just this: draw closer and closer to Christ. And as we do so, the Spirit that makes us authentically Christians will allow us to be this people who live in such a way that we just speak truth in love. Because it's only in Christ that we see and that we know what's true. And it's only in Christ that we see and that we know the other as our brother and our sister. And it's only in Christ that we live in truth. And it's only in Christ that we live in love. And if we find in our life that we are just way off balance for some reason, that there's just not much truth or there's just not much love, it's an indicator that we might be out of Christ. But in Christ, the Spirit will allow us to move as Christ moves. In Christ, the Spirit will allow us to speak as Christ speaks. We will become this people who offer up the truth in love to a world that is dying for both. Would you pray with me? And so, Lord Jesus, you have told us again who we are in you. Lord, our world is desperate for truth. Just being with the teenagers this week, I'm reminded again of what a confusing world they're growing up in. Not knowing who they are, who they were created to be, who to follow, what remains. And it's not just them, Lord, it's us. We get confused too. We forget what's real too. We are in a world that is desperate for truth. And, oh, Lord, we are in a world that is desperate for love. Oh, so much judgment. so much division, so much fear of the other, so much us versus them, so many walls built up to protect us from people who make us uncomfortable. Lord, we need love a millionfold. We want to be your people. We want to live, oh Jesus, as you lived. A people who carry this beautiful dance of truth and love together. This week, could I make my home with you, Jesus? Could every heart in this room make their home with you in nestling up so close to you? Would your Spirit do in us what only your Spirit can do? Show us the truth and fill us with love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.